tight. That's hold on here.
Let's try to keep it under an hour and a half this time.
Oh my, I agree.
Like anything under 45 minutes would be terrific.
Well, 45. I mean, let's be reasonable.
45 is reasonable.
Under 45 is that's.
That's the the target.
Yeah, we've already gone over it on this intro. No, I'm gonna leave it. This all of it in too. All of it gold.
Yeah.
Hello and welcome to episode 350 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me as always is...
Adam in Vancouver.
Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
Yeah.
What's going on? A lot to talk about, Adam, this week.
Oh, really? I was hoping there'd be less.
All right, well...
I'm feeling less talky today.
Why don't we just write it down and put it in a blog?
Sure.
We could do that. Like, maybe we start our own Reddit page.
I don't know what that is.
I barely have heard of it.
Okay.
Like, I've heard of it, and I know it's a thing. Then I'm out. I'm done. Talking. Anyways.
Okay.
Amazon. If you're gonna buy yourself a new Reddit,
yeah,
pick it up on Amazon, click through our site, you'll help us out.
Okay.
You were going to buy something last week.
Well, I can't remember. What was it?
Yeah, nothing. I don't care.
Okay.
I'm not buying anything. I haven't bought anything. Haven't bought the table saw yet. I'll let you know.
Okay.
So, there's that.
Yeah.
So, like I said, lots to talk about. Big week. Big week happened here. Like, all of a sudden. First, it was my daughter had her first day of school. That was the big thing.
Okay, got the cone.
Got the cone. Yeah. The Schule Tute.
I didn't see any cone pictures online.
I didn't post them yet. Do you have to post it immediately, do you think?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Live updates. Yeah.
Okay.
Live streaming of cone time.
Look, I can't tell if you're kidding or not, but there was
that's
a lot of that.
Cone time.
No, but look, that's cone site. or D cone site, I guess. D site.
Okay, thank you.
I don't know if you're joking or not. You probably are.
Yeah.
I got the impression that there was a lot of that going on at the first day of school. A lot of live tweets or whatever we're going to call it. Facebook living, maybe. I don't know.
Sure.
It's a big deal here. Like, it's a huge tradition that at the first day of school, the Einschulung, the like you're entering school, they make a... It's a big deal because kindergarten is a completely separate thing. Like in North America, you do 1 year of kindergarten at the school, the elementary school, right?
Right.
And then you sort of shift over. So your first day of kindergarten is like, all right, the parents bring you by. They cry a little bit because they're, you know, emotional. And then that's it. Your school life has begun.
Right.
Essentially. Yeah. So over here, there's a huge thing. It's a huge deal.
And so does everyone have their phone out?
Yeah.
That's prevalent in Germany as well. There's like you know, 30 phones just kind of up filming every moment of this.
Yeah, we're not immune. We're not immune to that here. Unfortunately, it got out of hand a little bit actually. But so the deal is here is so you leave kindergarten you go to the big school day one and the other kids start like on Monday but then. Our first day for the kids, they welcome them on the Thursday because the rest of the school gets ready. They do like they've learned songs and there's a big assembly that we all attend and people like I wouldn't say people get dressed up. Some people get dressed up. Some of the dads wear their nicest sweatpants. So
sweet.
Yeah, there were some nice ones. Wow, that's your nicest baseball hat you have. Okay, looks good, I guess. Backwards, it's on backwards, but I'm not even joking. That's for real.
Okay.
Yeah. And anyways, so I said I was gonna go full James Bond and just wear a suit because I never wear a suit.
Yeah, you know, with tails, preferably with tails, something with tails.
No. Come on now. My top hat is I can't find it. So it's no, like Barney says, you suit up, man. And so I was ready, but my daughter was having none of it. She said, "No, Daddy, don't. You can't wear a suit." So, well, come on. Can't you just wear a nice dress shirt and some jeans? I said, no, I'm going to wear a suit and a tie. And she said, no, it'll look like you just came from work. All right. Can't have that. Have a productive dad. So I ended up going with just a dress shirt and some khakis. And I was still the one of the, on the top 2% of best dressed guys based on that.
Wow.
So anyways, yeah, so they do the big tradition, they have the assembly, and then like the mothers, or fathers, I guess, but let's be honest, it's the mothers put all the work in, like, months in advance on this cone. Like you can, most of them, or a lot of them build their own. Like, my wife built her own cone and decorated it and the whole deal, right?
Okay.
And you can go ahead, and you can see the picture down there. I took, there's my daughter and her shul tute, homemade by my wife. And anyway, so but you can also buy them too. And so some of the parents obviously elected to buy them because you can get like the dinosaurs, like one shaped like a T-Rex, and they have Star Wars ones. And it's a tradition that goes back like a long, long time, like I don't know, 100 years or something, maybe less. I don't know. But my wife did it. Her parents both had the shul two days in the shul tuten. In the, I suppose, the 60s, 50s, and the 50s, they had them. So they were doing it way back then. So it's gone on forever. So big deal. Was good. It was actually pretty good, but, you know, a little emotional, of course, because it's a big day and for all that. And then, of course, it was crazy, crazy rainy downpour, like just massive downpour, which it was kind of, I was kind of bummed about, right?
Okay,
but we ended up having to drive to the school. The school was like a 5-minute walk from our house. We had to drive because Oman Opa came and all that stuff. But it was raining so hard that we couldn't even take umbrellas. It was just terrible. Anyways, it all worked out. But they what they wanted to do is that they asked, hey, you know what we should do? We should take a group photo. Of all the new kids. Can we do a group photo? And someone said, yeah, it's a great idea. And then all eyes turned to me. I was like, yeah, I'll take care of it, no problem. It was, you know, last thing you want is like 19 parents in there doing it with their iPhones, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up bringing a couple flashes and just bounce them off the ceiling and Bob's your uncle.
Okay.
So it worked out. But overall, I don't know what your experience is with the school. Because you have parent. Do you have parent meet the teacher nights or something like that?
Yeah, we have that.
Do you go to that?
Depends on whether or not I'm working in the evening it falls on. So I'd say my batting average is not great. I have been, but I haven't been to everyone. Lisa religiously will go to every single one. So mm-hmm. if it happens to be on a night where I don't work, like, then yes, I go.
I might never go again. And then the teacher was great, but... The other parents, what you doing? A lot of questions about the teaching techniques
mm-hmm.
in grade one.
Yeah.
So I don't know what your criteria is for teaching techniques is, but mine for grade one is like, don't let them play with matches.
Yeah.
The end. That's it. Like the rest of it, you know, don't worry. It'll sort itself out, in my opinion.
Right.
I might get too dialed in with the details. But a lot of the parents were, and we had to sit down at the beginning of September and map out the rest of the meetings for the year.
Okay.
And so, like, for example, someone said, well, okay, how about we meet on July the 12th? And then somebody else had to come back and say, no, I what if I get invited to a wedding? And I said, what am I doing here? Why am I 2.5 hours sitting here on this tiny little chair, not meant for me?
Right.
What am I doing? I can go.
Yeah.
So, anyways, that was a little bit about that. Also crashed my bike.
Okay.
Yeah. Unrelated. Unrelated. And this was like last Saturday. It's like almost a week ago now. And I wish I hadn't.
Okay. So what did you scrape up or hurt this time?
Sort of my, like, the side of my leg, like the, just below my hip.
Okay, and did someone cut you off, or did you hit a rock, or what was the cause?
No, I was coming around, I was on a bike path, but the where I was riding is, like, through these, like, it cuts through these fields, like the farmer's fields.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess earlier that day, one of the farmers had, what do you call it, when you, I guess you harvest all the corn.
Mm-hmm.
And thus, and then, but when he comes around, like, they plant corn right up to the edge of the bike path. And so when he comes around, and it's a paved path, and so when he comes around, he ends up dragging mud all over the path.
Okay.
Okay, so now it started, it ended up, just after, it must have just poured rain. So the roads were a little bit wet. So I came around a corner where there were some trees, so I couldn't see that path, and just as I turned the corner, it was where the mud was. And I couldn't even see it, and just it was like an ice rink, and boom! I wasn't even going fast; just down I went.
Mm.
Just the fish tailed out, and I laid it down as if it was like a cool motorcycle stunt that I but I didn't, and so, right down on my essentially my well not really my hip but essentially my hip.
Okay.
Holy cow! Does that hurt? and a big road rash, and then like I was going to. Like sort of like a year-end baseball barbecue, and so I had a bottle of Canadian Club in my backpack.
Yeah,
Crown Royal hard to find here. Uh-oh. So just so you know.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it shattered.
Oh no.
Yeah, so I had a change of clothes in there because I knew I was riding in the kind of the rain and lousy stuff, and. So I brought a change of clothes. I'm like, oh, smart. I'll just ride my shorts and stuff. I don't care. I'll get cold. But when I get there, I'll just change my clothes.
Right.
But it's pretty wet, so I'll put them in a plastic bag. I'm smart. I'm good like that.
Okay, good, yeah.
Yeah. So I go down, and I wipe out, and like I'm looking. I'm like, I'm just surprised. Like, oh, my God, what happened here? And then I oh, man, that smells like rye. And so sure enough. I open up my bag, and yeah, it's just shattered. And, of course, the glass cut the plastic bag.
Oh.
And the rye spilling into my clothes. My whole bag is full of rye. And I'm like, I don't even want to try to sip it out because I want to get glass shards. And I'm covered in mud and bleeding all over. Oh, this sucks. Yeah, I know. It was really fun for me, too. But anyways, I was like, oh, like, what do I do? I'm like, I'm three quarters of the way there. I'm like, oh, I don't want to go home. I'll just keep going to the party. And so I did that. And it showed up just covered in mud, my rain jacket ripped, and just a mess. So I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to jump in your shower. So I jump in my shower, and then in the shower, and then change my clothes, and I kind of get on with my day, right? Except for like an hour later, I'm just standing around talking to the guys, and I was like, I think I'm bleeding through my clothes. Yeah, I was. I was bleeding through. So,
well, it's good that you didn't borrow, you know, the host's clothes.
No.
That'd be awkward. Yeah, I just bled through your clothes.
Yeah. No, it. I'm trying to find what I did. I have a picture for you, but no, I can't. I can't. I'll post it up there later for you.
Okay.
It's a good one.
Is this at the party?
No. I took it a couple days later because my entire leg went purple.
Oh, no.
Like, just okay. Awful. Just, wow, why did that happen? And even today, now 6 days later, it really hurts. Like, it's a deep bone bruise. And so, but my thing is, like, it was not my fault. It was the farmer's fault. You're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to clean up. Like, he has the responsibility, and so I want to go find that guy and kick him in his nuts. But the worst thing is, here in Germany, even if I did, I'd go complain and be like, oh, okay, well. There you go, you know. Whereas in Canada, what do you think you'd get if a guy messed up like that and didn't clean up? You'd contact a lawyer. You'd probably get like $20,000.
Yeah, someone would sue for sure.
Yeah. Well, I kind of don't blame. I kind of feel like I'm not a suing kind of guy, but I could have used a couple of bucks because it's pretty painful. I'm not gonna.
Well,
lie
at least to give you a new bottle of rye.
At least that. At least upgrade it to Crown, though.
Sure.
Maybe something. Maybe like a Northern Harvest or something like that. Don't. Yeah.
It's too bad, man. It's too bad.
Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of rough. But I'm okay. I'm okay all now. Right.
Good. Good. Glad to hear it.
Yeah. Monthly photo challenge for this month. Hey, it's still light painting, isn't it? Haven't done it.
I haven't done it either.
Oh, mine's going to be so bad.
Yeah. I'm hoping that mine is a little better than a dog's breakfast.
Yours is going to be probably, I'm going to guess, 50% of the total submissions. Yeah.
We could call a late audible, probably because nobody's done it.
Oh, no.
I regret my words. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You made your bed, man. Now you're going to sleep in it.
Okay.
Hashtag it, but don't bother. You're not going to hashtag it. Do we need to waste your time? Two Hookers Monthly Challenge on Instagram.
Okay.
All right. Did you shoot anything interesting?
I did. I shot a picture. I put it in the box. I think it's interesting. You might disagree. But
Pac-Man Ghost Selfie?
Yeah, the Pac-Man Ghost Selfie. I initially thought I might use... I was going to do this as my photo challenge picture, and then I thought, no, it's terrible, so I can't do that. But I thought that the... Not that the picture so much is interesting, but that the surrounding... image that I could create for the listening audience is interesting. So I made Jack a Halloween costume this year. I told both my kids we're not buying
already?
Halloween. Yeah, oh yeah, because the plan was I'm going to make you Halloween costumes this year. So you got to give me some time. I got to figure out a way to make them this year. We're not buying Halloween costumes. That was my statement. Now, unfortunately, when I made that statement, it all sounded good except for what it meant was because I was putting my foot down on this because they want to walk into a Halloween store and, you know, drop 40 or 50 bucks each on a costume each year. And I said, no, that doesn't happen. We're making costumes, which means I'm making costumes. I'm the crafty one in our house. Uh-huh. So Jack decided on a Pac-Man ghost. At first, he just was going to be a ghost and just throw a sheet over his head go the old-fashioned worst costume in history costume. And I said, you're better than that, man. So when I we're 6 weeks out for sure. Okay. Close to that. Is it exactly that? And then
I don't know.
Yeah, it's pretty darn close. You're right.
Maybe seven.
No, it's not seven.
At least six.
Okay. We're prepared. And
we're 47 days. We're 47 days out.
Okay.
Okay. So you do the math on that. That is okay. Almost 7 weeks.
Okay. I'm a busy guy, and I had a day where the kids were occupied. So that's hence why I started doing this. So, anyways, I decided that a ghost was a complete cop out. So Jack last year was Donkey Kong. He likes the video game theme for a costume. So I typed in ghost into a Google search for Halloween ideas, and sure enough, popped up a picture of a Pac-Man thing, and I thought, oh, that's way better. Like, that's a good take on a ghost. So I basically drew out a picture of sort of the Pac-Man ghost, just looked at the arcade images that popped up, and I liked a pixelated old-school version and drew it out, you know, used foam, cut it out with foam, got fabric, and then basically cut the fabric, sewed it all together, made straps, the whole nine yards. Like, this thing is front and back. Like, the picture will show just the front, but it's front and back, and even you'll see on the edges, little wavy. Like, that's fabric that goes from the front to the back to keep it all in one tight package, because when he's walking around, I don't want the thing to be kind of like a necklace just bouncing all around them. So this is very lightweight foam front and back with fabric that connects it all together.
What if he gains weight in these 7 weeks?
Well, if it fits me, I figure I gave him a little wiggle room. Now, it's got all Velcro stuff on the sides that we can make it smaller or bigger. So this is a very pro done costume. And anyways, that's not so much the story as I decided that it was going to be, because I had no real idea of how I was going to take the CTO photo with nobody around, and I was getting down to crunch time. So I thought, okay, I have an hour here in the morning after I drop the kids off at school and before I went to work, I'm going to do a selfie in the Pac-Man ghost, right? So unfortunately, in the tight spaces that I was going to be operating in to do this photo of my mm-hmm. living room, I had to move some furniture around, and I wanted to shoot in front of the big sort of sliding glass windows in our living room because I wanted sort of an orange CTO and then a blue daylight sort of effect in behind me. So mm-hmm. I was in a very small space, and therefore I had a tripod set up. I had a light on a light stand set up. I had all my couches around. And so this costume, if I should have taken a picture turning sideways, like front to back is probably about, I don't know, a foot and a half. So with all this stuff in my living room, running around, and I couldn't find my trigger for my remote. So each time I had to basically try to position light, then I had to gain focus because I wanted a shallow depth of field so that you didn't see, you know, too much detail in the background. I wanted it to blow out. So I'm trying to focus on a spot and then run around all the lights.
What were you focusing on?
I put a light stand where I was going to stand. Yeah. So I put a light where I was going to stand, and then I basically push it out of the way when I get to after the timer. But the problem is that the depth when I turned sideways of this costume, I was knocking stuff over left and right. And so I honestly think if a neighbor had been like videoing the scene, that they would have seen would have been freaking epic as far as how ridiculous this was. I must have tried 15 times, and I'm crouching down. I got a 50 millimeter lens, but it's the fact that I'm trying to scoot by, and here's this grown adult in a child's ghost costume running back and forth in the living room taking a selfie. There could have been nothing more ridiculous than this scene. And when I told Lisa what I was doing, she's like, "Oh, you've sunk to a new low. This is the low."
No,
of the low. Yeah.
No.
She thought it was hilarious. The kids thought the photo was pretty funny, but what went into making the photo? I wish I just had one of those security cameras. Like, oh my gosh, it would have been awesome. Yeah, so there you go.
Exact same thing last night on a photo that I didn't use. I still took a selfie for mine later, which we'll see, but the exact same thing, except I did mine on my front lawn
with the Pac-Man ghost costume.
No, I was a Frogger. But but because I was taking mine at dusk, or it was actually even dark, I couldn't even focus, because normally what I would do is I would use live view, right?
Yeah.
And then focus, but I was using the 5D Classic. No live view. And so I needed to actually focus on something. Well, I can't focus on the black light stand in the dark, so I attached a bike light to it so I could focus on that.
Yeah.
Hit the timer, run over, and move the, like, just like you, move the stand out of the way and get in the shot. And kept missing exactly what you're describing, except I'm on my front lawn, like in shorts and like just complete idiot. I wouldn't say you've sunk to a new low. I'd say we have sunk to a new low.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The fact that I couldn't get by the camera with this costume was the part that would have been just hilarious to watch on video.
You have me beat there. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't have that.
So anyways, there you go for all to see. And oh, and Sarah's costume, which will, I'm sure, show up in some future photo challenge, is a full-size Coke can, also done in red fabric and white lettering, and literally is the best costume in the history of mankind. That's what I'm
History of mankind?
Yeah. Oh, it's so awesome. Like, as a homemade costume goes, it's so good. And anyway, so that may show up in a future challenge. Size bendy straw.
Oh, that oh, might my be God. The greatest went, in history.
Yeah, greatest in
said
history.
Said Adam Trump.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so that is you extending the challenge to both our remaining listeners to try to outdo that.
Yeah, maybe I'll just throw out like a quick, because I probably will use it in a photo at some point. Hopefully my daughter wearing it this time and not myself. Yeah. But yeah, her costume. The Pac-Man costume I'm quite proud of, like as a full ensemble costume. It's good. It's not overly complicated.
Are you going to be Pac-Man?
No, this is Jack's costume.
I understand, but he's the ghost. Are you going to be Pac-Man?
Oh, am I going to be Pac-Man? No, I'm not dressing
you
up.
and then Lisa could be Miss Pac-Man. I think I'm seeing a theme here.
A whole family costume. No, I'm
going to say... Well, except for your daughter, who really doesn't want to play ball. She's yeah. Doing her own thing.
I thought I was only going to have to make one costume, and that was Sarah's Coke, and then they would just go as a team Jack and Coke.
Jack and Coke, nice.
Yeah, but I don't think he was down for it, and Lisa said that's inappropriate.
I disagree, unless I'm riding with him in my backpack and shatter him.
Yeah, that's right. Then it's so, no, times. I will reveal the Coke costume at some point, or maybe I'll just, now that I've talked about it, I'll just take a picture of it on the floor, and then you can post it or something.
And you gotta just, on game day, you just gotta cover yourself in flour and be like, I'm also Coke.
Oh, that's not appropriate.
Better than Jack and Coke.
Jack and Coke's awesome. You know what I did see, though, because when I was looking for Coke ideas for how I was gonna make this look, there is a lot of expensive, like, you know, store-bought Coca-Cola full-size cans. This was all made with household items except for the fabric. I did have to get the fabric, but outside of the fabric,
you weave it yourself.
Everything else was made, and you know what I used for the base, which is just the perfect size for a child's life-size can.
What, around something round?
Well, you know those, like, flexible laundry baskets that sort of pop up, like those pop-up laundry baskets?
I'll pretend I do.
Okay, well, IKEA sells them. It's just basically like a fabric. It's got kind of a metal line, but it's a perfect size can. So just used one of those and covered it in fabric and did all the lettering and made some straps and made the super-sized bendy straw. And ta-da, can of Coke. It's all in the lettering, though. The lettering has to be bang on in order to make this look authentic. So
I guess we'll do a photo challenge of Halloween costumes this year.
What, don't we always?
Yeah, I wasn't gonna, but now I guess we kind of forced my hand.
Well, I gave you a 6-week lead up, so we can make it the 6-week monthly challenge.
Oh, is it for this Halloween? I assumed it was for 2018.
I like to stay ahead of the game. But yeah. I'll give you a heads up on my costume for 2018, Pac-Man Ghost.
Recycled Pac-Man Ghost.
Yeah, exactly.
With a bit of a stain on it from the party. Yeah. Previous year's party. Yeah, there's some pumpkin pie on it already. Yeah. As previously mentioned, I did shoot some interesting stuff. Although I kind of talked about it a little bit already, like the Schultute photo was a big deal for me. Oh. I'm posting it.
Yeah, I see it.
You see it. I. What do you think of it?
It's good.
It's fine. It's fine. That's the thing. It's fine. I didn't want to go crazy on it because it's kind of like a snapshot sort of thing. And I was like, you know what? Do I set up the studio for this and have her do a thing? And I thought, nah, man, that's not gonna be real.
Yeah. You know? No, I like this better.
And so, the rain had stopped. This is when we got home. Like I snapped one before we left the house, like undercover, and just because it was a torrential downpour. So I stood on the front lawn with Oma holding an umbrella over my head while my daughter stood on the steps. And so I have that one, it's fine. But then when we got home 2 hours later, it actually stopped raining, but still stormy, as you can see in her hair. And I thought, you know, like in my head, I was like, oh, it's going to be this amazing sunshine picture and it's just nice thing on the front lawn and all this. And then it didn't really happen. And then I accepted the fact that this is what happened, though. And that's a good thing. Like, let's photograph what happened. I wanted this to be a real thing because 2 nights prior at the aforementioned meet the parents night or meet the teacher night, I'm not sure who's meeting whom. It was brought up about, oh, you know, like on the day, like when they come and bring their Schultute in, you know, are we gonna take photos? Are we gonna take like photos of individual kids? Can we do that? And I had originally said to my wife, like, I don't know how the deal is at school, but if they need like a school photographer, someone to come in and take portraits of all the kids, I will do that. Like for money, I'll offer to do it for paid, obviously, because that's a lot of kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I hadn't said anything yet, and then this topic came up, like, oh, yeah, we want to get, you know, pictures. How about we do this? And someone said, well, here's what we should do, is just in 2 weeks have the kids come back to school one day with their Schultute, and we'll shoot pictures then. And I just said, no, I'm not doing it. Well, I hadn't been asked to be the photographer yet, but I just said, no, we're not doing that. That's silly. Like, what for? What do you think?
What do you have against it?
It's that ship has sailed, man. you're done. Like, what do you need? It's a cardboard cone. Move on with your life.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, that's how I feel. But based on everything else you said about this event, to me, that's reasonable. You've already got to the point where it's that big of a deal. So then in that universe, I understand why you'd do it 2 weeks later.
I don't know. I'm
with you in the universe that I think there's no need to do that in the first place. But I feel like we're probably alone in that thinking.
I said to my wife today, who did this many years ago when it was her turn, and I said, well, for example, like I'll take a photograph of it, and maybe we'll do another one at home or something. But I said, how long do we keep this thing? And she says, oh, I don't know, we should keep it for a while. And I said, okay, well, let's have a look at yours. Oh, I don't have it. I said, well, yeah, do you miss it? No, I don't. I said, okay, there you go. I'm not being anti-sentimental. I'm a big fan of sentimentality-ishness. But in this case, I was like, all right. But I just said they wanted to kind of restage everything. And a couple of the parents apparently had already had their kids dress up in their outfits, because it's not like a costume, but it's like they'll wear something nice that day. They had their kid dress up in it and then pose with their cone 2 weeks in advance, so they could have the pictures printed, and when they went to the restaurant for lunch that day, they'd be hanging up, and then they could hand them to Oma, and they could go home with them that day.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
And I thought, like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, that's intense.
Yeah, it's a little bit much. Yeah. And so I kind of threw a little cold water on that. I was like, nah, my kid's not bringing hers.
Kudos to Lena, though, just on the cone decorating. I'm impressed not only with the level of detail, which looks like, she's spent a lot of time, but also the color coordination with her backpack is quite a nice little touch.
That was some forethought. That was on purpose. Yeah,
oh, well, absolutely. I'm like, I don't think that's a coincidence. Now, granted, those are probably some of just Emily's favorite colors, right? So that probably factors in. So
pink, purple,
but just the fact that she did it and matched it so nicely is that's really, to me, what stands out in the photo is like, wow, that's quite a nice little matching backpack and cone.
And the backpacks here are a huge deal, like a massive deal for the kids who go to, because you have this for a few years. But the deal is like you get these backpacks and it's all like it's a huge heavy thing, like. And all the kids get one, and they vary in cost, but you're probably going to drop 250 euros on that.
Wow.
Yeah, really? I did. Really? Yeah. And I thought, okay, like I knew this going in. I knew this when we had the kids. And so I was like, all right, well, I'll put, don't worry. Well, if that's the way it is, that's the way it is. But we had some friends who their daughters, very good friends of ours, who I've actually took her cone photo a few years ago, and probably posted. That's how you know this tradition. You Adam, I mean.
Yeah.
And she had just finished with her backpack, and she wanted my daughter to have it. It meant a lot to her, and it meant a lot to my daughter because she really likes her as well. And so she said, yeah, she wanted to take. It meant a lot to take her used one, and they didn't want any money for it. And I said, I'm in.
That meant a lot to you. Yeah.
Yeah. Here we go. And when my son wants his turn, like, how do you feel about purple?
Yeah. Well, and now that you need a new bike, it works out well. Yeah.
Yeah. No, my bike was fine. That's what I didn't mention. I'm actually surprisingly good at wiping out.
Okay. Your body takes the worst of it.
It sounds funny, but I don't panic. And in that moment, I knew I was going down in that split second. Like, it was just like that. I knew I was going down, and I actually know how to fall. It's like it's kind of like sliding in baseball. For real, it's almost the identical motion. So once I was going down, I went into that slide and minimized the damage.
To the bike.
Took a lot. Well, yeah. To the bike. No, it's more so my head. My head was the main concern.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm still the Rod Langway of bike riding.
And, yeah. Yeah.
The Craig McTavish.
Yeah, Craig McTavish is another good one. Yeah. Dave Semenko.
Did he go helmetless at the end?
I can't remember him ever wearing one, but maybe he put one.
I don't know that he was one of the last six. It was Ally Afraidy. There's one, Harold Snepps, and that's after that. I don't know who the other last couple were, but anyway, so yeah, so we shot that, and then kind of we'll see. We'll see what happens in 2 weeks. I'll probably just shoot headshots for the kids. I don't know. We'll find out. We'll see if it's worth my while, money wise. Okay. We'll talk about that a different day. And then lastly, my son had his first soccer practice of the new season, and so I snapped a ton of photos there, and really and kept three. And so this is I just thought I'd post one of them to show him. Yeah, he balled to twine in this one.
The best part about this is, like, he looks like he's, number one, he's having a lot of fun, but he is completely in looking at the camera and looks like the the ball is just kind of placed in there, like he's going to trip over it or something.
Oh no, he went crossbar on this. Honestly, well, not the first time of the day. A couple times. No, it's not a full size thing. Obviously, it's for kids. It's pretty low,
right?
But it's taller than him. And he went crossbar and in. I was impressed.
Wow. Yeah. Maybe you've got the next.
No way. Bobby Leonard Doozy.
Bob Leonard Doozy.
Carl Valentine, we can say. With my luck, he'll be Tino Lattieri and then play goal.
Okay.
No good. But no, looking at his build, if you look at soccer players and then look at my son, that's not. He's got another 6 months before they kick him off the team. He's a thick kid. He's a thick in a good way. I'm not saying he's a fan. He's a thick kid. So, all right, photo challenge was CTO, the color temperature orange. Like you, I mean, I had something in mind about, oh yeah, I'm gonna shoot outside. It's gonna be that blue hour and this, because this should be simple.
Yeah,
I found myself due to weather constraints, family constraints, was never in the same position as I was when I shot that one, like my great outdoors shot from last month. That was kind of what I had in mind. Did not find myself in that position.
Okay.
Neither did you, evidently.
No. I did mine in front of my house at the 0 hour. I had my daughter who had just gotten home from dance.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I really need a photo. Can you oblige me for, I promised her it would be no more than 2 minutes.
Right.
And she said, okay, I will do this. And she said, if it's a jumping photo, I said, I do not care. I just can't go through the runaround thing again. I need someone to shoot.
Yeah.
And so she helped me out, and we just went in front of our house, and I used high speed sync with the gel.
Oh, okay.
With a full CTO, and I basically just thought, I really want to be able to freeze her. And it was, you know, getting to that time where it was sun's going down. We're all in shade because the sun's kind of dipped below the roof of the houses, which are to camera left. And so we needed enough room for her to be able to run and then to do a jump. And so I basically got down low. I just threw the flash on the ground, no light stand or anything. I promised her this was quick, and she did two or three passes, and I basically just fired it, and I was happy that I had something, and she was happy to be done, and that was it. And the nice thing for those who haven't used gels in this capacity is that, I mean, you use the gel, so in this case, you know, the subject is lit by the flash, because it's pretty dark out. I don't need a lot of flash power, so the one small flash in high speed sync provides plenty of light to light my subject here. So you light the subject with that, and then when you bring it into Photoshop, you expose for the background however you like. I wanted to see, like, if I wanted to make the sky super blue, then everything would drop off to black in the cars and the houses and the trees would become silhouette, and I didn't want that. So I kind of decided to expose where, you know, it just looked like evening light, right? Which is basically what it was.
Right.
And then when you go into Photoshop and you basically, because your subject in the raw image will be very orange because you've lit them with a very orange gel.
Good.
Then
just to flash forward, that's our topic for today. So we will discuss that. And you don't have to go too deep.
Okay. Well then here you go. You can figure out what happens on your own. There you go. Cut to
it becomes
more blue. The takeaway is it becomes more blue in the background, because when you correct the image for the skin tones, then obviously your background will become more blue because you're basically cooling the image back down.
Okay, so but what I wanted to ask is, why didn't you want to go darker in the background?
because I didn't want everything in the background to be a silhouette.
Okay.
Yeah. Again, it's just a season to taste. I wanted this to be in a little bit of shadow or not in a little bit of shadow. I wanted it to look like, hey, I just took this at evening. And because there's still a fair amount of light on the trees, mm-hmm. I didn't think it would look real. I thought either this is dark at night and I light her, but I wasn't going to be able to do it with where I was situated based on the light that you still see coming through on the trees in the background. Right. So this was a nice balance because this looked real to me in that, you know, okay, in the evening you can clearly tell sun's gone behind the houses, so that's why it's dropping off where she is. But, you know, there's still some light peeking through in the trees, and that was realistic looking to me.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Okay. It's fine.
It's fine, exactly. Yeah. It's not a bad photo.
No. We don't, it's incongruous with her jumping in slippers.
Yes.
And then also this is the nitpicking part of it, and her right hand is kind of out of the frame. And
I knew you'd comment on that. It didn't bother me at all. And the reality of it was I could have kept it, but when I, like, because I have her whole hand, but then the framing, like, you know, I'm lying down on the ground shooting up because I want to make it look like she's higher in the air. So I'm slightly on angle, and so right. I preferred that she basically have her top of her hand slightly cut off. I think we can do the math on that. She hasn't lost, you know, half of her first three fingers, rather than the image be kind of askew, which is more unpleasant to the eye. So it's just, again, just another photographic choice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Gotcha. All right. Let's have a look at mine again. I scrambled. This was shot today, like this morning. So there's that.
Okay.
What's going on here? Maybe you tell me. I know what's going on, but I don't know if it's clear. What's supposed to be going on?
Out either through the doorway, or is that right? Or is it blinds through a window?
It's curtains.
Curtains. Okay, so you're peeking out the window.
Yeah, I thought later. I was like, for me, I was like, oh, this is clearly a shot of a guy looking up. A guy, me being the guy, looking out the window into the setting sun or the rising sun. It could be either way. We don't know. But and then I looked at it later and I thought, it's not that clear. Because of the way the curtains are, you don't really see outside. Is it clear? I don't know. Clearish.
Whether it's morning or night, the sunglasses part is, I think, a bit of the confusing part.
Oh, no, I like those sunglasses.
But nobody would put their sunglasses on to peek out the window.
I didn't. This isn't me. This is a character I'm playing. He's kind of a Jack Bauer type, and he loves those sunglasses. They're really cool.
Yeah.
And even though I've had them for like a couple years now, I still get compliments on them all the time now. I don't even know why.
Right.
But so I wanted to put them on. Essentially, it was just, you know, in all honesty, I didn't feel like taking a selfie as it was kind of stuck, and the sunglasses make it less me.
Gotcha.
So there's that, and I thought let's just add some things to this scene. So in the end, I just thought, okay, great, I'm gonna create this sort of sunshine coming in, the slice of sunshine, and then play it off with a little blue light in the background, just to sort of highlight the fact that this is in fact a CTO.
Right.
Anyways, and that's what I did. So I ended up in broad daylight, pulled all the blinds in my office, went outside and threw a flash on full zoom with a snoot on it with a full CTO, and just pumped it through, and then adjusted the blinds, the curtains accordingly. Had a little kicker up behind me, camera right, just to light up on the blue, and then ended up, I had to position, here was the hard part, where it echoed your experience, but not quite as funny. Yours, I had to basically put my tripod on my desk, and then with the camera pretty much back up against the wall, so I couldn't see to focus, so I ended up having to use, this was the Mark II, so at this point, so I did use Live View, set up a light stand and held a hand mirror in behind my camera so I could see the screen while I focused.
Right.
Who needs an articulating screen when you have a hand mirror?
Yes, that's a good point. Hey, this photo makes me think of another photo that's actually in the Gregory Heisler book.
Oh.
Yeah, so he did this.
So we're tied.
The same kind of idea with the warming gel on one light, lighting a subject, and then a cooling gel on the background to kind of create sort of the feeling of like lamplight lighting a subject. It's towards the end of the book. It's the Harry Belafonte. It's where it's maybe like, I don't know, 46 or 47 out of the 50 portraits. But he does this very similar technique, and maybe again, somewhere in your brain, that sort of helped kind of think about adding the blue light, because he did exactly that, but more for the background and basically the one side of it to look like lamplight, which is a very super cool kind of looking light in terms of the warming gel, and then a cool kind of evening window light on the background with another gel. And if you either snoot your lights or possibly grid your lights, depending on what kind of lights you're using, you can really get a nice, warm, cool combo. So if anyone is still thinking about that book or whether or not it's worthwhile, this is this whole idea of how to use warming and cooling gels really well described in how he did it in the Harry Belafonte picture. So, but yours is good too.
No, not compared to that. And you're right. That particular photo did not come to mind, but that technique absolutely did. So let's go right into the topic, which is CTO and why I like it so much. I'm a humongous fan of the CTO. What does CTO mean? Color temperature orange. That's all it stands for. But when you say CTO, sounds a lot cooler. Yeah. So first off, we're talking about gels, putting a gel on a light, in this case a flash. Now there's gels and there's filters, and they often get confused, just not physically, but just when we're describing them, people say, put the orange filter on. Well, a filter goes over your lens and is a global adjustment, meaning every bit of light that comes through that lens is now going to be orange if it's an orange filter,
right?
Whereas a gel goes over the light that you're using, and is not global. It renders that light orange, right? So that's how it goes. So on the filter, the orange gets oranger, but your blues go orange a little bit, versus the other way around. I recommend, if you do have a flash, I highly recommend picking up a set of gels. A gel pack. Now, where can you get them? Adam, I know you got yours from a different place than I did. I still took advantage. I was able to pick up one of the Lee filter packs, like the Sample or the Roscoe. I forget what mine is, either Lee or Roscoe.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas they used to hand out these little packs, I got one in film school many, many years ago, where they hand out a sample book of basically every sort of different gel and other material stuff, sort of like the reflector material as well. We don't really use those in this case, but they make a little samples because theaters or film schools or whoever, film productions, want to buy giant sheets of this stuff, and they want to see, okay, yeah, good, I want like a green, or I want to use this or whatever. Like, you can have a little look at it, and they used to hand these out for free, and coincidentally they are pretty much the exact same size as the front, like the front element, the front of your flash, fit over your flash perfectly.
Right.
And so that's what I did. I go out and pull out all the relevant gels that I'm going to use, the color temperature oranges, the color temperature blue, the CTB, we call them, in the different strengths, and pull out the ones I use, put a little bit of Velcro on them, and I have a set. And they're really handy. It cost me nothing. Great to have. If you can't find them, which they're now hard to find with the advent of Strobist, the website from Mr. Hobby, they stopped handing them out in a lot of places just because people were snagging them all. So you have a set. Where'd you get yours?
I think I just got it from local photography store years ago. I actually have one of the sets that you talked about as well. So I have two sort of sets. One was one that was kind of a a purchased one that has everything, and it has little dividers, and it's like a, almost like a little wallet of gels that goes in my camera bag. So I just keep it in there, and I'm going to say it was maybe $20, something like that, for the wallet of different gels. I don't offhand have my camera bag right next to me, so I can't tell you what the brand is, but I can keep that as a teaser for next week, and I'll let you know the brand. But then I also have Dwayne Gervin, you know, a guy that's been on our show several times. He gave me a set of the ones you're talking about. What were you say the two companies were?
Roscoe or Lee.
Yeah, I think it's one of those two anyways, but I have it's a thick, like almost a textbook sized little flip book of all the gels, and I have that as well. And same as you, I just pulled the CTOs because they're coming like quarter and half and whatnot strength, and then all the blues out. And then I have the rest of the book just sitting in on a shelf, and it has a zillion others that I never use. But right. Yeah, it's quite convenient. Of course, I got that after I'd already bought or purchased a little book, because I would have never bothered if I had this first. But yeah, as it is, I have two sets. I have a backup in case I tear or wreck one.
But if you can't find it for free, at $20, it's still a great investment. It comes in very, very handy.
Yeah,
you're going to like the results.
And I'm not sure. I mean, it kind of depends on how good your local photography store is. Like, that sort of be an item that I'm not sure every photography store would carry, but I'd say it's your best bet. And if not, I'm sure you can find that on Amazon. For some reason, I think mine, there's a company out there called Rogue, and they make like a whole little system for your flash and different flash benders. And I think they even have a little kit that you can buy that has a thing that the flash gels fit in. Like, they make their own with a little slide in, slide out system, like almost like a little plastic holder that goes around your flash, and then the flash gel fits in there. I worked around that. I basically just bought their little kit rather than put the little plastic thing on my flash. I just put little Velcro tabs on both my flash and on the ends, and it's far easier to just slip them on and off that way.
Right. So check it out. Get it. But why CTO? It's the one I use most. I'll use the blue here and there for backgrounds and such. But why CTO? It's my favorite, and it's the most versatile.
Yeah.
Now, what this does is this, as we mentioned, it shifts the color of the flash. The flash, when it comes out of the box, it's inherently blue, because I guess they figure, you know, it's just going to be, you know, it's generally a round sunlight color.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, at what is it? Probably 5,600 degrees, roughly. Different flashes are different, slightly different. But if we want this to look like regular light, we set our camera white balance to flash or sunlight or whatever it is in the general vicinity, and it matches. It looks nice. It's pretty good. No one's going to cry about it, right? It looks like light.
Right.
But if we wanted to look orange, we could do that. We could simply shift the white balance and make that blue flash. We could make it look orange. But just like using a filter, that is a global shift. That means everything else in that image is going to shift. We can't simply shift the light. So if you're lighting strictly with your flash and no other sources of light, then you're never going to notice, probably. But if you're trying to mix it, you know, you're adding a flash to the scene, now you're going to notice, because in order to make it look, to warm it up, you have to really warm up the rest of the image. And that's, you're not going to like that. So we use a CTO for two reasons. When we want to mix light or match the light. When it comes to CTO, I almost always mix light instead of matching it.
Okay.
You know what I mean? You understand the difference?
Yes.
For when we're going to match, let's get match out of the way, because it does happen, but like, you tell me. I'm guessing you don't do it very often either.
No.
Let's say you're shooting at sunset. You got that very orange light coming in, that beautiful orange light, and if you were to just introduce your flash in there to maybe sort of fill in something or whatever you're using your flash for, it's going to register as blue, because you have this wonderful orange light. Your flash is just going to be too blue, and it's not going to match. in order to make it match, if you don't want it, you don't want that super contrast. Now you have to orange it up a little bit to bring it right in line with that setting sun.
Right.
And that is, and the sun is going to be overpowering too. It's not like you can then overpower the sunlight with your flash. No, you're going to end up feathering it in there. So now you put the CTO on in order to make it match. I do this almost never.
Yeah. Me too. I mean, it's something that you'll see in like photos of sunset. Like if you see someone who shot like a Sports Illustrated swimsuit model in a sunset, usually they're shooting it in the first 5 to 10 minutes after the sun goes down, and then they're basically making their orange gelled flash look like it's the sunset light. Right. That's the situation where I see that kind of photo. But like you said, I do this never. It seems like you have such a short window to really operate in, to really, and if you're just, like you said, trying to do it with the sun itself and feathered in, it's a lot of work for a little reward.
Right. Although back in the day, that's how Elle Macpherson insisted I shoot it.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. She was a big yeah. But the other situation, and this is more likely for me, because when I'm shooting sunset, I'm basically right before, if I want to get that golden sunset look, I basically wait until the sun is just about down below the horizon. I put my back to the sun, and we're talking about shooting out at Spanish Banks, and with the city in the background that's all blue, and then I use that wonderful golden light. Well, I'm not going to do better than that. There's nothing I can add that's going to make that better.
Yeah.
And so essentially I just use what Mother Nature's throwing out there. That's great. So I don't need that. But sometimes though, we're shooting inside, like at a party or something like that, and you have a lot of tungsten, which you probably don't have anymore. It's probably all compact fluorescence, or more likely, you have these warm LEDs that everyone seems to have. That's all I have in my house. I think every single light bulb now is a warm LED. And so if everything is kind of that nice, wonderful golden orange look. Now, if I'm going to introduce a flash into that, it's going to be very blue.
Right.
Right? And so at a party, it's fine if you're overpowering all the existing light, but your images aren't, that's not very good. You don't want that. If you're at someone's house or whatever it is, you kind of want to supplement the existing light and get the sort of environment of whatever event you're at, and then just add to it so that you can light your subjects. Well, now that's when you need to have a CTO on the flash. Even if you're just bouncing it off the ceiling, which comes in very handy, if you throw a CTO or a half CTO, it's going to probably mix in with those warm LEDs quite well. So there you go. But all that being said, this is something I rarely do. My use of this is almost always when I'm mixing a blue light source, like the sky, and then I want to create an orange subject. Like right. The shot I did up at the coastline a few weeks ago.
Right.
Now this technique, I find, is a little bit overdone. But for a good reason. And that reason is, it's kind of awesome. It looks really good. People love this. There's a reason that we beat it to death, is you throw that up on the Facebook or whatever, people love that kind of image. Okay, so let's say we decide to shoot at blue hour. Sun is just dip below the horizon. Everything is this wonderful blue. And this is how we achieve that look. So we're going to set our white balance to 3200, to tungsten. And now we're going to get really, really blue. The whole image is going to be a nice deep blue, right?
Yeah.
Of course, we're shooting raw, so we can always adjust later. That's important. That's what you mentioned when you were shooting your daughter, is that you were shooting in RAW, bring it into to Photoshop or to Lightroom, and now you can adjust globally, but you can adjust everything a little bit, right?
Yeah.
So first step, set the white balance to 3200, to tungsten. Next, we're going to underexpose our entire scene, probably by a stop. Our camera's going to tell us one. We're probably going to go down at least one stop, and that's going to make that whole sky and the surroundings all, like the sky is going to be a nice, deep, saturated blue. That's what we want, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're going to come and introduce the orange, and that's where the CTO comes in. We put that on we start with a full CTO, which means a full power color temperature orange. Now, they come in different degrees. You can put a half on there, a quarter, or a double. What is it that you use the most?
I usually use the half, but in the case of my images this time, just for the full effect, I use the full.
Right, when you want to go, yeah, exactly. I find it's the half is probably gets the most use because it's subtle enough that it looks good without being overpowering, like you're not going nuts. But sometimes it looks good. So now, let's say you put the full CTO on, you got your color temperature set for tungsten. That flash, which is normally blue, is going to come generally within the proper white balance, meaning your skin tones are going to look about right. Maybe a little orange, maybe a little under, but you're going to be about normal, but the background very, very blue. So that now we bring this into our Lightroom or Photoshop or Aperture, whatever we're using, and now we can shift that white balance globally, and if we shift it to the right a little bit, now our subject's going to get pretty orange pretty quickly.
Right.
And the blues will come up a little bit, but we're still going to have enough separation. We created enough separation between the two that as we shift one, the other follows, and we're going to end up getting a good result.
Right.
That's how you do CTO.
Okay.
Now,
in the Heisler book, he's very careful to point out when he was talking about the whole using a CTO gel that it's important to use a gel that is basically measured in Kelvin, because if you just get any kind of orange, piece of clear orange cellophane, it's not going to be as easy to get the skin tones right when you import it into, Lightroom or Photoshop. So
right.
These ones are very specific, and like a quarter CTO and a half CTO and a full CTO. So if you're going to go and bother to buy gels, make sure that you're getting that.
Sure.
As opposed to, like you'll see in that booklet of gels that we picked up for free, there's 1,000 in between variations that are yellows or kind of orange, and yeah. You won't be able to do it nearly as easily, and you won't be able to get the skin tones right. That's
they do mixes, and so like this other another one you can get away with is called CTS, which is color temperature straw, which is actually pretty good too. I enjoy I use that from time to time. It's just a slightly different. Again, I've probably mentioned on the show many times I am colorblind, so I'm not I don't get too far down that rabbit hole. But it does create a little bit of a different look. But then, yeah, you can get into all kinds of stuff that you could use for effect. But if you want to mimic something, you kind of do want that the proper, not just something reddish that you grabbed at Michael's. You don't want to do that.
Right.
So that's a good call. Now, that being said, the whole blue and orange look, it's very popular in movies and TV. The orange highlights and the blue shadows, as I said earlier, it is overdone, but it's for a reason. I happen to love it. You love it. Everybody loves it, even if they don't know they love it. Start looking at your TV shows, whatever it is that you enjoy watching. If it's dramatic, especially, it's probably going to feature a lot of orange and with orange and blue mixed.
Right.
Now, backtracking to what I said earlier about lighting up the at the sunset or in the party with the yellow lights. If your main light source is orange, you can go ahead and light your subject blue, and you still get that blue and the orange contrast that we talked about. That doesn't really happen very often. There's something not tremendously appealing about your subject being blue in an orange background, unless you're going for something very, very specific.
Right.
But so I don't really do that. It's probably over dramatic, maybe for shooting some like a horror movie or something.
It does. I mean, it does look cool, gelling your flash blue to shoot like a cool. I've seen it done well with like sports photos. You know, like if you're trying to do a really cool looking sports portrait, it can look if it's done well. And I think there's ones in the past where you or I or both of us may have done, you know, really using blue light on our subject with like, I'm thinking there was something with the smoke machine. I think you did one. I think I did one where we used blue light and the smoke machine, and it can look cool. But yeah, it's you're going to use that a lot less frequently for sure.
More often than not, when I'm using the smoke machine and lighting up, I do use blue, like a CTB on the light that lights up the smoke, which creates a blue background, and then I'll use a CTO on the subject.
Oh, and you still did use art. Okay, I'm thinking of a different photo.
No, there might be blue. I'm not sure. The one you're talking about, probably the hockey baseball one. I forget what I did with that one, but it comes up far, far less often than orange subject in the blue background.
Yeah. Agreed.
So there you go. All right, challenge for next week. Sort of kind of alluded to it earlier. We're gonna do a day for night, and that was a request from you.
Yeah,
because we talked about that subject a few years ago, actually, but probably never did an actual challenge based on it. So that's it. We're doing it a day for night. Not even going to tell you how to do it. That's just what we're doing.
Just figure it out, yeah.
Yeah, go back and listen, Adam.
Okay.
Yeah, you're not going to.
No.
Our monthly challenge, though, it is light painting. Buckle your seatbelts, everybody.
Yeah, hooray.
Yeah, this is probably where we get sent over the edge of just popularity.
Yeah.
People, oh, they finally did light painting.
Again.
Yeah, for them. I'm just going to repost that same photo. No,
I've got something mind-blowing that's coming.
Oh, is it asteroids?
Yeah.
Yeah, we all look forward to that. It's Galaga or Galaga. I don't know how to pronounce it.
Galaga. It's Galaga.
Yeah, all right. That's the one where he smashes the watermelons. Everyone loves it. hashtag those two hosers monthly challenge and on Instagram, and we'll have a look. Websites. Adam, where can people go to find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca.
Find my stuff at AlanAtridge.com, two of us at twohosers.com. That's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.